Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
The Survivor Specialists are back, and today we have our final preseason game for Survivor 49. It is the prop bet game, and I am joined by Peridium today. We're going to dive into this game. Peridium, I think this is the third or fourth season in a row you've done prop bet with us. I feel like this has become a staple for some reason.
Is it third or fourth? I don't think I did it for 46.
Okay.
I did do it for 48. I don't remember anything that I said for it.
Beauty of these games is when you podcast them, you say it, and then it just immediately vanishes from your brain as soon as it's over.
Pretty much. I've got like one thing on my list that I'm like, okay, I feel pretty good about this. And then the rest, I'm just like, I don't know. It's just, we're just shooting in the dark. You know, that's one of the things. Who's going to play a shot in the dark? I'm going to say a name and I'm going to forget the name the moment we're done. But you know what? There's something to it. There's some method of the madness. Been watching Survivor now. This is 49th season deep. I've been watching the show since season 18 live. So maybe I don't dabble too deep into the preseason as much. So I'm always appreciative when you're like, hey, you want to do a preseason? I'm like, sure, why not? Like, you know, it's kind of like the rules are made up and the results don't matter.
Exactly. So,
hey, if something happens from it, maybe there's a method to the madness here. Maybe we know more, our intuition speaks better to it. Or maybe we're just wrong in like literally 17 out of 18 of these.
Do you want to see how you 18. Did? You want to see how you did last season?
Yeah, sure. Why not? I'm like, I was trying to remember. I don't have the notes up anywhere. I couldn't find my notes anywhere for who I picked.
I have it somewhere. Let's see if I can find it. Survivor 48 prop bet. Here we go. So you took Charity as your winner. How'd that work out?
I'm like, who the hell is Charity? Charity doesn't feel great. Doesn't feel great there.
You did have Joe crying a physical tear. That was good.
That's the one thing I remember. I was like, I remember picking Joe's, and it was like the weirdest pick. But I'm like, this dude just seems super emotional preseason.
Yeah. Getting a hidden mini idol, you had Kyle, so you hit that one.
Oh, nice.
I mean, you did all right here. Five or fewer votes, Mitch. That hit.
Did it? Wow.
Immunity, David.
Yeah, that far, and wow, that's crazy. Okay.
Yeah. You had Eva making the jury. That was incorrect. But then again, none of us, as easy as that one is. So for everybody who's maybe new to this, or if you're playing again for the 85th time, because we do this every season, makes the jury is normally the easiest one. So we all put 3 points on it. None of us got it. I had Charity, Will had Justin, you had Eva. So we all missed that in one way or the other. And then goes on a journey. You had Camilla. I don't remember if Camilla went on one. Chrissy with a confessional in every episode, that did not work. So you were like hit or miss. You were hit or miss.
Which is about how it feels, you know. I guess it could be worse because like it is kind of pretty random at the end of the day. We don't have a lot to work with. Just like I listened to a lot of like Mike Bloom's interviews preseason. I saw the intro video Survivor posted about these people. I've looked at like their wiki bio to see exactly pet peeves, players they reference. Do I feel like they have a good sense of where their head is at this point going into the season? I don't know. It's kind of it's just sort of a shot in the dark.
It is a shot in the dark. And we are 1 week away from this premiere and we're just winging it. Normally this one happens earlier, but I went to Europe. So we had to move everything around. And normally the fantasy draft is happening right before and the prop bets earlier. So we should know the most about these people at this point. We don't.
No.
So I will let me just quickly go through the rules and stuff so everybody understands. And I want to plug our other games. So while I was gone, Blake and Will did a over-under game video with Rome. And I know Rome was talking all about his Kansas premiere party. So if you're interested in going to Kansas for the premiere party, figure out how to get there. But also, if you want to do our over-under game, we have like a record low amount of entries right now into the over-under game, which I guess I shouldn't be pumped and promoting, but I also wasn't on the video, so I'll just blame it on Will, who's not here to defend himself. That's what I do. I take shots at people who can't defend themselves. But I feel like if you're going to go and you want to win a prize in a game, over-under might be the easiest thing to ever win right now. This one here we're going to be doing for the Pop Funko from Todd. So Todd is making a custom Pop Funko. He did, it was Mike Tomlin season one that we did this. And then it was like the guy who plays Jesus in one of the shows that was on like FX or History Channel or something. Those are the two Pop Funkos he made. Neither one had anything to do with Survivor, but if you win this game, you can get whatever the hell you want. And Todd obviously does a great job. So this game has the probably the better prize, but the other one might be easier to win because so far barely anybody's entered. So I got the link to the over-under game in the description of this video. Obviously, the link for the prop bet game, the actual form that you have to fill out to do this, is also in the description of this video. And if you want to participate in our fantasy game or our power rankings game, fantasy game, you got to get in before the premiere. The link to our Patreon is here, and our top tier patrons can play in the fantasy game, power rankings game as well. So there's two chances again to win prizes. So you got two free chances to win a prize. And then if you're top tier patron, you got two other chances. We keep giving out prizes for season 50. We're going to have to up it or something, because right now for season 49, you know, this overlooked lost season, this poor, poor season that's just being forgotten. The entries are so low, but I feel like for 50, people are going to be like, hey, I read those spoilers. I know where all this is. So, you know, people are going to be pumped to play in our games then. But those are your opportunities. Those are your chances. So go ahead, check out all the links that are in the description of this video. If you're listening on Spotify or iTunes or any of that, I call it iTunes. If you're listening on podcast or Spotify, go ahead and click the links in there. It should all be there and you can enter these games. All right. Pretty, we're here. I saw you making faces throughout all of that. I know it's a lot of info that I'm throwing at everybody else.
I was going to say, I do have Todd's Funko Pops. I have two of them. I ordered them like 5 years ago when he first started doing it.
Okay.
They're awesome. He did a great job. I did one of him because he's one of my favorite winners. And then also my cat. I've always had them. I think I brought them up probably the last time if we talked about it. So I was just like, oh yeah, they're great. Todd's great. He does a great job with his Funko Pops. I don't own any Funko Pops, so I don't really know how they relate to the actual Funko Pops out there, but they feel pretty legitimate and hefty and like more than just like, it's not just plastic. So they're pretty good.
He kills it.
And then also with 49, I was like reminded of Don't Sleep on 39, I think it was the hashtag for Survivor 39, where nobody cared and everybody was waiting for Survivor 40 because we got the Super Bowl season with literally champions. And now we're at Survivor 50 on the eve of Survivor 50, and we've got the biggest season ever with 24 players spanning all eras of the show. Winners, non-winners, fan favorites. And in the middle of all that, we're not there yet. We're sort of just waiting for the light to hit green. And right now we're kind of at the 49, which is like the yellow or the amber, wherever you live. And you know, it's an interesting spot to be in talking about Survivor 49. And it's also interesting knowing that there are two players that are coming back from 49. 450, which is fascinating because it's like supposed to be a representative of all of Survivor. And we have two people we don't even know that much about. We're about to watch them play for the first time in less than a week. But like, that's the show's been on there for 25 years. It's still number one in its time slot. It's a big show. I've been dedicating so much of my time to it. And it's just interesting that we're going to get to talk about these people before we know a single thing about them. One of them could be a two-time winner. We don't even know. Or not. It's just interesting.
Or they could be a Francesca Hoagie.
Two-time. You know, they invited the first boot of 49 back for the All-Star Survivor 50. That's the logic we got.
Like, you know what, man? I'm not putting anything past this group at this point, because when they announced that it was going to be 12 pre-40 and 12 post-40, I said, you know what? If that's how they're going to do it, it makes sense because they're going to go 4-4 on both tribes. You don't want to have a winners at war situation where your Ethans, Dannys, Ambers just go out really early. It makes sense. And then they were like, nah, we're going to do 5-3 on one tribe, 5-3 on another tribe, 4-4 on one. And I was like, all right, I don't know. I give up. I shrug my shoulders. So maybe the first fruit is there. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm curious to see how it shakes out. But before that, we've got Survivor 49 to talk about.
I feel bad for the cast. I really do. Because, look.
I wonder what they get to play Survivor, though. It's like, that's the upside, right?
That's what's so fascinating about this, right? Like, season 39, I became really close with Tommy after that season. And, like, obviously, like, then you talk to other people. Elaine, Lauren, who's doing her thing now, Janet. All these people. And, like, that season was so negatively received. It has 40 coming right after it. People were just like, we don't even want this. Like, why is this here? But at the same time, a lot of those people were just excited and happy that they got to participate in the game of Survivor. Mm-hmm. With the like, you think about 49, we should be so pumped about, because 48 was almost universally despised, right? Like on the internet, at least. I know that, like, if you talk to people on the street, a lot more of them liked 48 than people realize. But in this little community that we have, that is the internet, 48 was so despised that you would think 49, the hype would be like, this has to be better. This is going to be awesome. That's how it kind of felt with 44 after 43, even though, in my opinion, 43 is so much superior to 44. But when you look at this, it's like people are just like, well, we got AU versus the world. Do you care? I can say who the winner of that is, right?
Yeah, I watched it. I watched
it. Okay, good. So like Parv wins that. Everybody's happy. Everybody's ecstatic. Everybody's roasting me in comments because I keep saying, if you want to piss people off, tell them how much you really love Todd. Say Todd's a better player than Parvati. Whew! Oh man, Purdy. That'll end everything for everybody. But you know, everybody's so pumped about AU versus the world. And then everybody's pumped that 50 is on the horizon.
Yeah.
And here you have like these people who, yeah, they should be excited that they're going to play. But if this has been your dream forever, it's like, okay. Especially if you're not named Savannah or Rizgod.
You know, should they have made this like a half all-star season? Should they have made this another all-star season and then lead into 50? Do they just go with what they do best? It's just like, just sort of run it back. We got another new era season of Survivor on the books. I don't know. You know, there's no way around it. And I'm like, I'd rather have 50 than not. So somebody's got to be there for the seats in 49. Maybe we just skip 49. It's just like the floor that doesn't exist. You know, we just on the elevator.
People kept saying it was like 32, where they were like, they should put it after, they should reverse the order because of what happened with Korong. And it's like, but then it's not 50, it's 49.
Also, they did the logo on the hat. You can't go back from that.
Yeah.
They're going to post edit the 49 on the Jeff's hat. He's wearing the 50 hat all season.
Also, though, 49 isn't very exciting then, is it? Like, that's not a very good number. So it's like, why did you use 49 as a celebratory season?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, Cambodia was 32, 31. Not really. That it's not about the season number so much. It's just about the theme. This is more about the season number and the theme. Yeah. And yeah. Oh, well.
All right. Let's talk about these topics. We changed up. So for, again, anybody who's wanting to participate in the game, go ahead. We've gotten an entry since we started. So good for you, James Barber. Get in there and pay attention while we're doing this. So we have the first one is going to be the winner. We've always done that. We are finally getting rid of Cries a Physical Tear because it's just too much of a pain in the ass to keep track of. So instead, we're going to do a blurred mouth. So if the mouth is blurred, you get the points. Okay. That's number two. Number three is get a hidden immunity idol. It has to be like in their possession and actually theirs. It can't be like, hey, Pridium, did you see I have this idol? Well, can I hold it? Sure. And then you give it back. Like, you didn't get one there. You have to actually get it.
Yeah.
10 or more votes received throughout the season. That counts votes that are canceled out by idol. So like Wentworth does not count. This is always my example. Wentworth will not count in this situation. 5 or fewer votes. Same situation. Individual immunity. Winner loses a vote. Can be any reason for the lost vote except for shot in the dark. That one doesn't count. Like Mary didn't lose her vote. Mary played shot in the dark and just wasn't able to vote. Lost vote is Justin's life and Bianca's life, essentially. We're just lost votes. Makes the jury. That means they actually have to be on the jury. Like Eva didn't make the jury last season. She made the jury phase, but she didn't sit on the jury.
Right.
Hugs Jeff. 2 times sit out of a challenge. Doesn't matter the reason, whether it's because they have the numbers advantage or because they're
could sitting be out give up rice negotiation, whatever.
Dude, if we see another rice negotiation, I might stop. Yes. Then we're going to have 10 or more confessionals in a single episode. Goes on a journey. That challenge at the beginning that Kevin and Kyle did last time, that counts as a journey. I'm just going to take out any confusion or anything else around that. Sure. That it would be considered a journey. A confessional in every episode that they're in. 40 or more confessionals throughout the season. Has the episode title. Now, that can be multiple people who say the same title. Like last season when it was what was the one where they had the wart and he had the 6 nipples or whatever it was. And sure. The humble traits. A lot of people said humble traits. So everybody who says humble traits gets it. It's not just the person who says it first. Goes home with an unused advantage. That does not count shot in the dark. If you don't play your shot in the dark, that doesn't count. But like if you have an idol.
Does that count idols? It counts idols.
Yeah, it counts idols. It counts like if you had knowledge as power and never played it, but you have it in your possession, all that stuff. Uses the shot in the dark. And then the last one, we used to have it as alcohol at a reward, but they don't really advertise when it's alcohol anymore. So we stop.
Such a tough one to.
Well, because then it's like, are they all drinking the alcohol now? That because they don't have the brand deals, it's just like the most basic looking brown bottle, like without a label. So we're going to do it as goes to the sanctuary. They don't have to win the reward or anything. They just go to the sanctuary.
They have to be at the sanctuary for whatever reason.
For whatever reason. Jeff can just say, we all want to go to the sanctuary because it's season 49 and they do it. Maybe there'll be fried chicken and waffles. And that's why they'll go to the sanctuary. So there you go. There's your 18. And again, the scoring for this is 1, 2, or 3 points. It's confidence based. 3 points for what you're more confident in. 1 point for what you're least confident in. 2 if you're neutral. Has to equal out to 36. So you're talking like you can't just do 3 for all of them. It has to, you could do 2 for all of them, but your 3s and 1s have to equal out. Pridium, you've done it enough times. It's still confusing, but it's fun. And people win prizes. Again, you can win a Funko Pop or Pop Funko. I always say it the wrong way.
Funko Pop. You're gonna have to keep track of my numbers. I didn't number them, but I can tell you how I'm feeling as we go. But if I start adding up past 36, let me know.
I love it. Well, I'll tell you this right now. I haven't even written down a single person or number either. So I'll be
doing five alongside. We're just, all right, we're winging it. Let's go.
I'm ready. Look, I did my boot list video. I recorded it. It's going to come out on Monday. So I have my boot order like in my head. So I at least have a general sense of how far I think people will go and how far I don't think they'll go. But in terms of, I don't know, man. Again, I'm kind of in that same boat doing the AU stuff. I don't know.
I'm so wrapped up in Big Brother. We still got 10 days of this stuff.
Oh man,
dude, it's wild. I'm watching a couple who one. I don't know if you know the context for Big Brother at the moment. This is one of the wildest stuff ever. There's like a guy basically cheating on the show emotionally. At least his girlfriend, I think, has left him in real life.
Okay.
And every day, and the girl that he is doing it with is like the hardest core. She's a Twitch streamer. And she just doesn't know how to stop talking. And she pushes her will onto this guy who was like the biggest pushover in the history of Big Brother. And they're like in the weirdest showmance ever. And I just, it never stops. It just, and I'm watching it because I keep track of these things. It's my sort of my job, but it's kind of weird. It's all super vague. It's just a lot. So this is what's on my brain as I'm staring at these Survivor players. I'm like, about to watch this stuff all melt down. And they're doing a double eviction tonight, which is just like a week of Big Brother in like 45 minutes. So it's just insane. It's going to be fun.
So am I like, is this good for you tonight? Am I taking your mind off it? Or are you just like, I don't even want
to. Honestly, it's like, probably, it's a little nice to know that we've got Survivor coming up. This is giving me a little bit of a launching pad. I appreciate it. I'm glad to be talking about it because otherwise I'd be sitting around just being like, waiting for this bomb to go off with this show with Big Brother. So yeah,
I love that. All right, well, for all the people who have told me over the years, man, you should watch Big Brother, Peridium's just selling it every time. So all right, well, let's get excited right off the bat. We start with winner. It's probably the one we should do last, but I feel like, you know what, let's set the tone. And Peridium, are you going the Blake route on this, where because you know who's on 50, you're just going to be like, I think I'm going to pick one of them? Or are you going to go the Phil route and think that the producers are messing with us?
Am I basically going to take the W or the L?
Yeah.
I'm going to take the W and pick the person I'm picking. I guess that's not the Phil route from what you told me earlier.
It's not. Yeah.
I'm going to go for the obvious just because it feels a little too tough not to, but you're right. When you're saying like this person does come across as a little messy, I agree. And I thought, is this person a winner? I don't know. I could see it. And we might be seeing it soon. But, you know.
Say her name.
Shannon. Savannah.
Yeah. Savannah.
I'm going to pick Savannah, but it could be wrong. And if it's wrong, great. I'm not going to feel one way or the other about it. You know, but it's tough to ignore. We know who's back on 50. There's a little bit of element of like meta with the tribes on 50. And it just sort of feels like we're looking at a possible Savannah win. If we're not, biggest blindside ever, like hashtag Survivor blindside, let's go. And maybe we'll love whoever wins the season. And then apparently doesn't get invited back for 50. That's weird. But
hey, Tommy didn't get invited back for 40. And he was the most recent. The
two, you know, I got a feeling it wasn't just like because of Tommy though.
You mean, wait, what was wrong with Island of the Idols? I don't understand.
Yeah. You know, there's, nothing. It was just a generic season of Survivor. Yeah. Also, like it's bottom.
The one that I think everybody talks about the most positively. I feel, look, I feel bad. I know that Elaine's going to be coming on our podcast here. So I'm going to get into like what we have going on in the season coming up and everything. But I know Elaine's going to be doing a podcast with Tegwith early on. And like, man, you look at how Elaine is just like working out and has lost all this weight and is like living the life right now. You see Lauren on the red carpet talking to all these people. Tommy's principal Tommy with a kid now. He's been on the challenge. He's done all this stuff. Janet is like throwing parties that people are going to down here in Florida. And like, she's like loving the experience. And it's like, yeah, no, you don't, you guys can't fit on our show. Like, we cannot bring any of you back. It's sad. It's a bummer.
The redheaded stepchild, you know?
It is. It is. It says my connection is unstable. So if my internet starts cutting,
you, I mean, your audio sounds totally fine. Video is a little bit choppy, but audio sounds totally fine to me.
So. As long as my audio is good. I don't know what's going on with that. So that has me a little worried because,
but
that might be a storm.
Oh, I'm picking a 3-3-4 Sav.
No, you're doing three. So you're just like, hey, I don't even care. I'm going all in.
I mean, the rest of them are feel like a little bit more shot in the dark. Feel a little bit like you got them walking around with a blindfold on. This one feels like the most substantiated based on information that is like concrete, not based on what we know for sure is going to happen. Just I'm going to go three. If there's ever a three here, I feel like this is the easiest slam dunk.
Yeah, I'm going to go. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it.
I'm going to say this is affecting my videos coming up for Spire 49 because I don't want to project this onto people because I know most people are not that in deep with the Survivor background stuff and I don't like broadcast that. So I'm kind of like, what do I do for True Contender? Do I just pick her? I'm going to wait to see how she feels as the season's happening in the first 3-4 episodes. But it's definitely having like I was going to do predicting the season. I did this last season for 48 where I said, I'm going to try to predict the entire season after just one episode. And I got pretty good. I said like Eva makes it far. Joe makes it far. I did have Kyle not. He was okay. So I'm like, this one feels a little bit weird knowing that it's like the Zeke and Michaela of it all.
Yeah. But hey, Zeke and Michaela didn't do that good on MVP.
They didn't. That's true. But I'm not really talking about Survivor 50, but I just don't want to rub people the wrong way where I'm like, hey, there's a little bit of beyond the official info that I know about. I don't want to ruin it for everyone out there.
What's really tough and like I really appreciate okay, so I'm gonna give some commendation here, some flowers for lack of a better term, to CBS for how they handle this. I know a lot of people look, it's easy to pick on Jeff, it's easy to pick on casting, it's easy to pick on, you know, just the way CBS handles a lot of the stuff around 50 right now. But the one thing I will say that I have to give them credit for is the fact that they got ahead and just said, look, this is our cast. Stop. Don't go to these different spoiler places. Don't go here. Don't go there. Like,
yeah, they
this
own
is
it.
What our cast is going to be. They found themselves in a tricky spot, though, because there were two 49ers. And so you say there's going to be two people from 49 on the season. It's not hard for all of us to then go Google it, right? And the thing is, like, if I sit here and pretend that I don't know who's on 50 from this season, like, come on. Like, nobody's going to take us seriously at that point. So I get where you're coming from because your videos are maybe for a different audience there. We're both in the Survivor community, but I feel like my videos are so much more for these people who are like...
Also, it's a podcast. Like, so we're really like talking about it, going into the weeds of it. Yeah. No, I get it.
It's tough. And look, we've already done a brand steal with Savannah and Rizgot on it. We've already done tribe breakdowns with Savannah and Rizgot. Like, we've been talking about it because it's the elephant in the room and I'm not going to pretend it's not there. That said, I don't necessarily think that Savannah's locked in as a winner here. I know that's what the rumor, or not the rumor. Look, there's no spoilers about this season right now. That's what's actually very interesting. People are just so convinced it's Savannah strictly because of the fact that she's on the next season and she's not on D or Kyle's tribe. I'm going Jawan. Same starting tribe as Rizgot and Savannah. So I'm kind of playing the game a little bit here. Look, Jawan reminds me a lot of me. The fact that he's from like South Jersey, moves out to LA, working in film, doing all that, Survivor fan. Like, there's a lot of similarities there personality-wise, which I like. And he's on the same starting tribe as the two people who are coming back to play again. Maybe Jawan's the winner, and instead it's like, hey, Russell didn't win when he comes back to play Heroes versus Villains. He was just that damn good. Maybe that's the situation we're in here.
That's very true. That's very true. And I'm like, you know, it's very possible that, like, Savannah and Rizgot are just that good that they wanted them to come back and represent the latest season. They know the fans are going to be thinking about the top of their head. That's very possible. It doesn't have to be. We don't have to meta the heck out of this, but you know, in this case, it's, you know, it is what it is. It's preseason, Survivor 49. I'll just go for it.
Yeah. There you go. I just spoiled my brood order video. So now everybody knows Jawan is your winner. You just have to figure out where to go.
I mean, that comes with the territory. It's a winner, you know.
Yeah. Profit. Can't hide that one. No. He was also my first pick in the fantasy draft because Blake took Savannah with 1-1 and then Will took Rizgod with 1-2. So, you know.
I have a lot of fun like trying to predict the dynamics of like the first few episodes, like episode 1 or 2, trying to look at them in the preseason to be like, okay, we have these 6 people. Who would be voted out first based on like pure bias? Like, what are we like? Who is connecting with? Because Jawan, I felt like could connect easily with Nate.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, knowing then you've also got Rizzo and Savannah, maybe that's a 4, like that could work. Or maybe Jawan and Nate are on the outs because Jawan and Nate seem to have a decent amount in common from when I was listening to their Mike Bloom podcast.
Yeah.
Even though they're like 20 years apart in age, but they have very similar interests. Like Nate worked for the MCU. Jawan is a big fan of it. They were all, I was just like, I could see this working out. And then I was like, oh, where does that leave Shannon? And then where do I slot them in for the prop bet? But yeah, Jawan's not a bad pick. I felt pretty good about Jawan. I liked him.
Here's Jake. What's up, fellas? With a bunch of exclamation points. What's up, Jake?
I had 2 picks for Jake here, slots to put him in.
You better be nice now. You know.
Also, you know, that's the, you know what? Neither slot here is gonna be an interesting conversation.
Hey, you know what? That's good though. Jake was about to just come in and then get out, and now he's sitting here going, "Damn, I guess I have to find out what Peridium's gonna think of me."
Speaking of the next topic, then blurred mouth.
Yeah,
I almost put Jake here, but I'm okay. Like, I listened to the preseason interview with Mike Bloom, and I'm like, I don't know. He seems pretty wholesome for the most part. I don't know who's getting blurred, getting their mouth blurred on Survivor in any the latest seasons. Like, I can't think of anybody off the top of my head. Maybe Say last season. I don't know.
I think Kyle definitely had it.
Were they? David?
I think David. I don't know. You know what's interesting is like when it's happening, it's so you're like, wow, there's so many people who are cursing. But then you like think about it after and you're like, oh, they were such nice. They were so nice. Like, I don't know. Star might have cursed.
It's not indicative of like, you know, people's general demeanor. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Some people just curse more than others. It's just a habit. Should I go into blurred mouth though?
Yeah, you should. That just made me feel better about myself though. It's just a habit, guys. It's not my
fault. You curse all the time? Okay.
I'm pretty good on the podcast.
I feel like you don't curse at all on the podcast.
But. I try not to. It's really, really, I've trained myself for 10 years, but as soon as this podcast is over, it's hard.
It's easy for me. I get to write a script, so I just write it all out.
Yeah, exactly. You just follow it.
For blurred mouth, I decided to go with an off the wall pick and pick Matt from the Yellow Tribe.
Okay.
I saw a comment that made me laugh damn so hard hippie. I had to go with it. Matt, what?
I said damn hippie. Is that why you think he's gonna curse?
Also, just like he feels like he's the least self-censoring person on the cast.
Mm-hmm.
I think from what I saw of his conversations. So I kind of got this impression, like, look, if anyone's gonna say something that might possibly get blurred, it could be him. Somebody said he's like Randy Bailey in Happy Font, and I just laughed at that because I thought From the outset, just looking at him, I could kind of see it. But then the way he talked, I'm like, this guy does remind me a little bit of Randy if he was less of a curmudgeon.
Yeah.
It's funny. So I was like, honestly, yeah, it's a pretty good read. I think he's going to be a big character, down to earth, goofy. But yeah, the self-censoring thing, I sort of was like, man, if I'm going to pick anyone for blurred mouth, it could be him or somebody else.
So what are you going to go with? How many points?
One. I don't feel great about this one. It's also like you switched this from last season. So I was like, I don't know.
Yeah. I'm going to go 3 on this because I do feel like it happens more than we realize. There, you know, like New Yorkers curse a lot. And then like,
okay.
Yeah. And then like when I was living out in Rizzo? LA. Yeah. Well, Rizzo doesn't give that vibe, right? He's, you know, but then like when I was living out in LA, people are a lot more careful with their words. It feels like, you know,
are they?
Like,
okay. I've never lived on the West Coast. So I don't know.
But when I live here in Florida, like in like the Miami area, I feel like there's like a lot more like, hey, we're influencers. Everything's great when we're on TikTok, but it's like, if you piss me off at a bar, I'm going to curse you out. If you take my gym equipment, I'm going to curse you out. If you cut me off while I'm driving, I'm going to curse you out. Like it's nonstop cursing. So I'm going to go with Sophie without the E, Sophie Bellardi here. And I'm going to go 3 points on her because, you know, she's okay. Got that D vibe and D was very positive, but D definitely has some blurred mouths on season 45. So yeah, I'm going to go with Sophie, the entrepreneur who's had to deal with Miami traffic and Miami drivers her entire life. And so if she doesn't curse,
that's a good pick. I actually like that. I almost want to like retroactively, I'm not going to switch it, but I like that. I like that pick. I'm like, yeah, I feel like that probably is the best slot for her of here of all of them.
She's somebody who's very strange for me, where I feel like she has such an incredibly high upside, being that we just saw D win a couple seasons ago in almost the exact same archetype. But yeah. Then also when I look at her starting tribe, I'm like, I do not love her spot at all.
Yeah. Red tribe, I felt the most secure about. Blue and yellow, not as much. And blue, I feel like, is a little bit all over the place for me. So I'll be curious to talk about that a little bit more, but, yeah, I got Sophie in a different slot here.
Okay. You want to do gets a hidden immunity idol?
Yeah. So I put down MC from the yellow tribe. This one was interesting because she's fit. She's going to be agile, I think, compared to a lot of the players on her tribe. She might be one of the more active ones, and she's new to Survivor. And I thought, you know, rookie mistake, finding it, going, at least looking for the idol. She'll be looking for the idol. Will she find it? I don't know, but like the odds are better than some of the other players. So I don't know, like, do I trust somebody? There's an idol in every tribe. Somebody's going to get one of those idols most likely. Who's most likely to grab it on each of these three tribes? For this slot, I'm like, well, I think MC looks pretty good. Maybe Steven, but I felt like I had the best vibes finding an idol with MC. So for the preseason analysis, that's as deep as it gets.
Yeah. It's hard to go any deeper.
I mean, I could have gone to blue, could have gone to red there. There's an idol in every tribe, but and I don't know if they're doing shenanigans this season for that stuff. I think they seemingly do. I don't remember if they did that for 48. But yeah, I felt good about MC for the most part. So I'm like, eh, give her an idol.
How many points?
Let's go two.
Two. Okay. This was a hard one for me because I want to go Rizgod or Savannah here, but there's two, in my opinion, with 40 or more confessionals and 10 or more confessionals in an episode that are just absolute 100% locks for them. Because if they're going to be on the season and they're coming back, like Russell Hantz set the record in his season when he played Samoa before he comes back for Heroes Villains. I think then Boston Rob broke it in Redemption Island, but it's like they want to hype up who is coming back to play again. So I'm going to save those two for that. And I'm actually going to go, with Alex here. I'm going to do two on it. I feel like Alex, he wants to come in. He's talking about the margarita curse. That's like all his personality is at this point. But being like the political guy, I feel like I could see him maybe getting in pretty good. I feel like he's on a good starting tribe with Nicole and Jeremiah. I think that they all might get along, and that's where like I don't feel like Sophie necessarily will. But if Alex can, all of a sudden it starts to become a group that's saying, hey, let's all find this idol and ensure this other person doesn't, a la Star, where everybody was like, hey, maybe we just like won't help her figure this out because we don't want her to have it. And maybe Alex, you know, can be a recipient of this. So I've made this whole thing up in my head, but he's got,
You know, it's all fan fiction. What are you going to do?
Fan fiction's good for you, right?
You never know.
Speaking of fan fiction, though, I want to bring this up real quick. It's worth playing for. Said, are you going to make a video about the 36-hour influencer Survivor? And then said, I haven't watched it yet, but I feel like it's an interesting test run for more that may come in the future. I haven't watched it yet. I haven't had a chance. It's a cool idea. And I remember I talked to Tommy Smokes about it when I had him on for Predictions and Power Rankings last season. And he was like, I can't say anything about it, but this is like, it's awesome. And I would be interested like how they did it and what they plan to do in the future and all that. Pretium, are you planning to do anything with this? And what do you think you need to do to build yourself up to be able to be on this in one of the future?
I have a funny feeling. I've always kind of, people have asked me like, how do you think the producers feel about you? Because I've been doing this for 8 years, making Survivor videos. And my general impression is like, they probably don't love the videos as much, cause I don't think it generates as much traffic as they would like or whatever. So I'm not terribly like, oh, I have X amount of followers. I think it's more like two of these guys work with Beast Games.
Yeah. Smokes is on Barstool.
Tommy's on Barstool. I don't know the rest of them too well. I've heard of a Monet Exchange.
Isn't Monet Exchange on?
Honestly, no. I don't know. I'm not the audience. These just the play, the people here are like way bigger than what I have done. So on one hand, it would be meta to put like a Survivor guy who talks about Survivor on YouTube for a living, but on the other hand, I'm like, I don't know if they even like me though. I've been way more critical of Survivor than any of these people. I've said the harshest things about them and the nicest things, but I don't know if they feel good about that. And also maybe I'm just not good enough to be on the show anyway. I don't know.
I think you're good enough, Peridium. Although, you know, if you want to take one out of the casting producers, you just don't know yourself well enough yet, Peridium. That's what the problem is. It's you.
I know. That's how it is. That's what it is.
I had to bring that up because Tyson was like roasting them. I don't know if you've been following Tyson, just talking about casting, and it's been
not really.
I'm not sitting here to like roast casting, but it has been funny that like
Jesse Tannenbaum, the guy, the casting producer.
Yeah. Tyson's just been roasting.
Okay. The casting department. Sure.
Yeah. And so, but for me, it's just like, it's been funny to see because I've applied a bunch. Right. And like, I know a lot of people have applied a bunch, and it's just like funny that it's the terminology around everything has either been you get the call or you're simply like, you don't know yourself well enough to get that call yet. And it's like, it's like, what are you legitimately telling 10,000 people that they don't know themselves well enough? And only like the 48 you call, like, that's a little that's a
pretty ridiculous ratio
to me.
I think it's like, that's just a hand wave. That's just, they're saying stuff to like, not say anything. I don't know. I think I could, I've thought about apply. I've only played once, like a long, long time ago when I first got into the show. I think that I would know myself at my age now way better than I would have any previous time. I wouldn't have a problem with that. I'm just like, I love Survivor more as a fan and consuming the content like this, watching it, making videos about it, dissecting it. If I don't get to play Survivor, I'm at peace with that, which maybe some people would hate to hear, but I'm like, eh, it's whatever. There's so much to do in this world that I'm like, Survivor would be awesome. I would love to do it, but there's so many other things that I would love to do too that I'm not losing sleep over not doing one thing, even though I talk about it. I get my fill with YouTube and this stuff, you know, and watching it and meeting the players, going to the live events and all that. If I don't make it, it's whatever. So
that's how I feel too. I'm just one of those people who where I'm like, well, I have to keep applying because what if, you know? But I mean, back in the day when I started doing this podcast, it was like, I want to be on Survivor. I want to be on Survivor. I want to be on Survivor. And I mean, like, I still would love to be on the show. There's no doubt about it. But like, I agree with you that like, if I never play and this is all I do, I'm totally like, I love doing this podcast. Like there are times like when you're getting roasted by Parv stans who are saying that you're just like the most negative person of all time. And you're a Parv hater when you're saying she's permanently on the Rushmore and probably a top three player of all time. That gets a little exhausting, but for the most part, I love doing this podcast. You know,
there's a lot to unpack from that comment, but
dude, AU versus the world was insane. Like,
I heard something going on with you being like negative about it or something, but early on, I don't know. I agree. I think the deck was stacked. That was our biggest complaint. The deck was stacked from the beginning with AU versus the world. But
yeah, that world tribe was.
Look, Tony was screwed. Tony was like, this guy is so screwed. Yeah. My wife and I watched it. We're like, so this doesn't look great for Tony at this point, and his resume and his just legacy is gonna like people go, oh, I'm like, oh. And then I'm like, does she count as a two-time winner even though she won two variations of the show? What does this mean? How do I make sense of that?
So you can't ask that question. That's what's going to get you. Dude, see, Peridium, keep that to yourself.
I love Parvati. She's my number one favorite winner. I've said this on record many years ago. I can back up what I say. I'm not so biased as to be like clouded in my commentary with like, I adore her. I've got her freaking children's book behind me. I don't even have a kid. She sold it on Winners at War, Om the Otter. And I've got it because I like her. I like her. I like her style. And, you know, I would have totally been a victim of the Black Widow Brigade. And that's great. That's something I'll hang on my resume like Eric Reichenbach. You know, it's a thing. It's a thing of honor. But either way, we're so off topic. We're just like, but for 49.
Look, 49 already knows, right? Riz got in here. He's saying, keep applying. R-I-Z-G-O-D. It's him.
You got this, Phil, dude.
Just
you could. I would watch you for sure.
I'd watch me. I don't know.
I'm watching right now.
That's it. I look at me the entire time. I haven't looked at Peridium one time this entire video, everybody.
Neither have I. I don't even. I actually block my camera when I get on podcasts like this.
Do you actually?
I don't find it. I find it super uncomfortable and unnatural to hold a mirror up while I have a conversation with somebody. So I can't handle looking at myself for an hour and a half. It just feels weird. It's like, imagine if I'm talking to you face to face. By the way, I'm holding up like a mirror. Just like, what? What are we doing?
I will say, doing this podcast, like, because now where I live in Florida, I don't go out and stuff as much as I used to. I will say that my eye contact has gotten worse because I'm used to talking to people so much through this podcast that a lot of times, like, I find myself like almost looking for like, wait, where's my face? Like, I can't see my, it's very weird because I do so many solo podcasts now for the Patreon. So I'm like used to having to almost talk to myself anyway. All right. Let's talk about getting 10 or more votes, right? What the hell just happened?
So I put, you want to know who I put for this?
I do.
I put Jake.
Nice.
But this is a compliment, by the way. This is a compliment. I don't know if Jake's here or not, but I put this as a compliment because I'm like, if you're getting votes, people want you out, right? You're a threat. Now, I'm like, with the small tribes, it's a bit tough to get all those votes and like not survive. Like, it's very easy to get 3 votes and you're gone. And there's like 5 or 6 episodes where that could happen. So really, you're looking at like the merge, or you're looking at being a vote magnet. And the problem I have with Jake is that he seems like a guy that you're not going to peg votes at him. You're going to go one fell swoop. Like, that's the history of the archetype. Like, Jake, he's here. You're the big guy on campus, especially a new era survivor. You're going to attract all the votes at once, or probably not at all. Or maybe you get a few like people at the bottom who are like just sniping you with a vote or two because an idol gets played. So I'm like, I don't know if this is going to work for him, but I considered putting him at blurred mouth because, like, you know, the hockey of it all. And like,
yeah,
why not? But I switched at the last second with Matt, probably because I didn't know where to put Matt. So I switched him with Jake. And I'm like, I don't think Matt's the guy that's going to get 10 votes. Mm-hmm. Jake knows the answer to this already.
So yeah, exactly.
He's here. Well,
there's last season, there were only 2 people who got 10 or more votes. Who do you think it was?
Right. So I'm going to put a 1 for Jake.
Getting 10 votes. Yeah, So you're going to put a 1.
This is not a confident take at all.
Yeah.
Who were you said 2 people got 10 votes last season?
One of them is very easy.
I'm going to say.
Yeah, she had 15.
Wow. Okay. Mary?
Yep. She had 11. So
it was Mary. Look at that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Say and Mary, 15 and 11. And then you had Mitch and Chrissy both had 9. So there was a lot there. There's a lot more people who get 5 or fewer nowadays because of the smaller starting tribe. Stephanie, Kevin, Justin, Thomas, Bianca. And then people who go very far. Camilla, Joe, Eva, Kyle. That's 8 people from the cast who got 5 or fewer votes the last time. So we're talking 10 or more votes. This is one where I'm kind of like, who's somebody who could make a deep run, but might be the head of an alliance. So they're constantly kind of being the alternative target. And this is actually where I'm going to go with Nicole. And I'm going to put 2 on it. I feel like Nicole has a really, really, really good starting tribe for her. I do feel like what Nicole could run into the problem of is if it's a 5-1, Nicole gets that 1. If it's a 4-2, Nicole gets those 2. And then Nicole hits a merge. And if Nicole is in an alliance or something, or a tribe where they have the numbers, she could be the person who's kind of getting those stray votes. Again, it's fan fiction, but I'm going to go with Nicole here because I think that the person here, and I think you're right, it is a compliment. It has to be somebody who's front and center. If it's like you have to be front and center to get these votes. And I know you're like, well, Chrissy and Mitch had 9. But Chrissy and Mitch were front and center on that second tribe that they were on. And then Chrissy went out so early in the post-merge that she got a lot of votes. Say and Mary, they were the alternative vote every single time in the pre-merge.
There's also an element to like, which tribe do I think might be going to tribal the most? Mm-hmm. That means they would have the ability to pick up votes along the way. So if we're looking at just getting 10 votes, I got to think like, man, if Blue Tribe goes to tribal a bunch, I'm looking at like Jake not going home, but getting some votes, maybe if he's got the numbers to survive. But then also if he makes the merge, I could see you get a bunch of votes there. You're merging with 13 votes coming out of the woodworks. So I don't feel too bad about it, but you know, hopefully he finds an idol.
Well, and they've started doing the bigger tribal councils at the merge again. You know, it was like, oh, we're going to split up here. We're going to split up and do 5 and 5.
Yeah, for like a couple votes.
Yeah, like it was 7-5-1. Charity goes home last time. You know,
that was Charity. Okay, my winner pick.
Yeah, yeah, smart, smooth. My jury pick. So look what we knew. So now we go to 5 or less. So this is one that actually happens a lot more frequently.
This feels like the inverse of where we're going with the 10 or vote. Like if you get 5 votes or less, you're either playing like a really good game, or you're like voted out in episode 1 or 2.
Again, Stephanie, Kevin, Justin, Thomas, Bianca,
Like you're like a pre-merge boot, yep. Or you're like the winner almost.
And then Camilla, Joe, Eva, Kyle. So literally the final four in the first five boots. It was nine people, not
it's,
eight.
It's you're hot or cold. Yeah. I went you're cold here for me. I picked Alex, which I have no idea. My energy, he gave a lot of anxious energy to me in the preseason. I felt like he could almost burn too hot too early. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel great about the blue tribe as well going to tribal. I feel like I could see them going to more than a couple tribals, which also affects my sit out slot. We'll talk about in a few, you know, down the road. I don't know. Like he could be in a good spot. It's hard to predict with this stuff, like the preseason, but I'm like, I could see him being in a good spot with this group dynamic, but I could also just see him like burning himself out and getting sniped, like Justin going out randomly, even though he's like the most mellow guy I've ever seen play Survivor last season. And somehow he gets blasted out of the airlock by episode like three. Mm-hmm. Where did that come from? Who knows? But the guy went out with less than five votes. So that's just sort of what I slotted in. And I don't think it's more of an indictment on Alex. It's just sometimes I'm just kind of like, I don't know where to slot all these people with these categories. Mm-hmm. So it's very likely I could be wrong.
We just need to start doing like, we're giving you, we think Alex will get five or less votes because he stinks, right? Like we just need to start being mean. That's like what, you know, we're always so like wishy-washy. It could be this, it could be that. We need to like start having like the mean takes, Pridium. Come on.
Now, I said he's just anxious.
Yeah, you did. Oh, yeah, anxious.
He's anxious, and like I said, he could burn too hot.
Oh, it's Andy, and he's gonna shoot himself in the foot. Like an icon.
So, yeah, right.
All right. Well, so wait. Well, I was gonna say something about Justin here. Oh, do you follow Monday Morons with Justin? He was doing that on his Instagram.
I have no idea what that is. No.
So whenever like somebody says something really offensive about him, like him or his cast, he does like Monday Morons where he's like making a pizza, just talking about what a douchebag the person is. It's so funny.
That's funny.
It's really good. Wait,
who's talking about Justin from Survivor 48? Like I'm curious. I'd be curious to know, like more than what he's saying. Like who is talking about him? What are they saying?
It's just strong opinion. Like he says something, and it's like you were useless on Survivor, or you're a bad person.
He gets okay.
He gets that kind of stuff, and then I know like there's been like people who have said like you know offensive things about other people on the cast and stuff, and he's gone at them. I've only seen a couple of them, but they're very funny.
Nice.
Anyway, I'm going trashy Annie on this. I think that Annie fits this so perfectly, and I'm actually putting three on this, and here's my reason why. She either gets voted out right away, and so she goes home in the first tribal or the second tribal, and she gets five or fewer votes, or she goes very deep, like we have seen people of her archetype go, like Sue, you know, like Ben, who is a similar archetype, despite the fact that Ben's like 34 and not 49, but like that whole musician character kind of thing more than like gamer. So I'm going to go with Annie here, and I'm going to put three on it because I think that, you know, you want, like we said, you want somebody who's going to go early or somebody who's going to go far. Why would you vote Annie out at like final nine or final 10? I just don't see it.
Okay. I could see it.
Who's winning individual? How many points did you say for Alex? One?
I'll put two.
You're putting two. Okay.
Yeah. I feel like the odds are pretty high that, you know, half the cast are going to fall into this. So,
yeah.
Wins individual immunity. I'm going to go with Annie.
Okay.
You know, at a left field pick, why not? Makes the merge underestimated. Survivor doesn't always favor the strongest, you know, and she's physically fit. She talked about that. She seems rambunctious enough that she could pull it out. This is a positive thing for her. I'm putting her, you know, winning immunity is great. And I think that you get underestimated and all of a sudden you win a couple. Like, it reminds me a little bit of Julie from Survivor 45. Just a player who's like, I think she won a couple. I don't know, but she's giving me that vibe. And I'm like, yeah, I could see Annie going around, like, making it into the merge and maybe winning one or two.
I mean, Maria won some, and I think Sue won one. So like the older women, it used to be like, they can't win immunity.
This is the inverse. Last year I picked David last season because he was going to get, it's like, I'm going to break the record. I'm like, all right, prove it. And he didn't. He didn't even get close.
So but if he like, would have won that one against Joe, he might have. They were set up for his biceps for some reason. They were just like, let's just have the strongest guys.
And you know what? History diverged. We could have had a Survivor 50 with David on it and said, we got Joe. What are you going to do?
Actually, instead we got Jonathan. What are you going to do?
Well, we got both of them, but.
Yeah. I'm going to go with MC here. MC
That's
is
a good pick. It's a good pick.
I really like MC a lot. I just worry that the lack of Survivor knowledge is going to kill her. Like, I know that right now she's really leaning into, like, on her social media and in her pregame stuff, it's all been like, I don't really know Survivor that well. I just started watching and, like, that's it. And now I'm here. And I do think that that could hurt her when you're going up against people who have been diehard fans for as long as, like, Arizgod or whichever Sophie it is, who's, like, playing Survivor with her family on Christmas and stuff. But in terms of, like, winning immunity, David proved last season, you don't really have to know anything about Survivor to win immunity. Like, mm-hmm. David was not a Survivor fan. He just wanted to come and play the game, and he won immunity, no problem. So I think that MC, like, this is a perfect spot because I do think she's somebody who has a lot of upside in terms of placement. I don't really see her being a pre-merge boot in many scenarios, but, you know, if she gets there, I don't think that she would necessarily know it's better to sometimes throw a challenge in the individual portion of the game.
Sure. Yeah. No notes.
All right. Who's going to roll it the wrong die? Oh,
should I tell you the number with Annie? I didn't even pick a number.
Dude, I keep forgetting the number thing.
I'll say one just because it's low. Let, like, you have to make merge and then win the challenge. And there's a lot of people. So I'll say one.
Okay. All right. Now we're going to do lose a vote. Who's going to roll a die and have their entire dream shattered because they rolled the wrong number?
I think this one, I, like, just slotted somebody in because I don't remember what the hell the logic was. In fact, I think I had them for a completely different slot, but then they got bumped. So I'm going to put one for this one too. I'm going to say Shannon.
Oh, okay. I have Sage. I thought that's
from the Red Tribe. I think I might've had Sage at one point, maybe, but I don't know. Like, she could have been the person I picked to hug Jeff, maybe even be a sit out. But at the end of the day, I was just like, why not? It's random. Losing the votes are just all over the place. She said the planet has consciousness. I just wrote that as a note. I said, like, I got to mention that on the podcast because it made me go, wait, what? I have to write that down.
Yeah.
And then maybe it does. I don't know.
And you can't prove it doesn't.
No, you can't prove it does or doesn't. Yeah. It's just a statement.
Yeah.
But maybe she loses the vote, goes on a journey. Maybe she gets somebody, takes a vote from her. I did think she might fall out of the dynamic of the Red Tribe early on, and I thought maybe somehow she would find a way to lose a vote. I don't know. Just knowing what we know about the Red Tribe, I'm like, you know, if she's possibly with Nate and Juwan, and then you got Rizzo and you got Savannah, maybe something.
Shannon and Sage seem doomed, in my opinion.
Who's Shannon and Sage?
Yeah.
They're kind of in a weird spot, but I'm also worried, like, maybe it's the other way around. Maybe it's Juwan and Nate. Or maybe Savannah and Rizzo don't have anything in common and they just somehow come together at the last second.
Yeah.
And maybe it's like a total shit. Maybe they win all the challenges pre-merge and then it's like, I don't know.
I have Sage for one. I agree with you though. It has to be one of those red girls here because one of them I had, like, I was going to put one of them locked into confessional in every episode, which we'll get to in a bit because it's like, they're going to be the first boot. Or the second boot, and that means they're going to get confessional in every episode. And the other one I was just going to put here because losing the vote is so random. There's really no rhyme.
It feels like a roll. It feels like I'm just like chucking five dice, trying to get ones on all of them, and
yeah,
unlikely. So yep. I put a one here as well.
Nice. All right, we are at Makes the Jury. This is what we all put three on because there were eight people on the jury last season, and we somehow all missed it. I'm doing Jake here for three. Okay. I don't think Jake makes the final three. And I don't think Jake is a pre-merge boot. I think that he goes out. When I look back, I say, why didn't I just pick David for this last season? Like, David was the most obvious makes the jury person of all time. Jake, not as obvious as David, but I'm putting him here with 3 points.
So this was the last of the categories I slotted in. So this person just ended up being last on the list. And it's one of the last people in the, when you organize the cast by tribe and by alphabetized. So I put Sophie S.
Okay.
You know, she's an all arounder. I don't know, but it's an easy one. I'll put a three on it because over half the cast are going to make the jury. Not over half the cast, less than half the cast, but still enough.
Barely. Yeah.
Who did you say was going to make the jury last season? You said Charity.
I think I had Charity, yeah.
Yeah, and I had Eva. Who did Will have?
Will had Justin.
Yikes. Okay, wow.
Yeah, Will had Justin. I had Charity, and yeah, you had Eva. So at least you were right that the person was going to go deep. You just thought that she would get voted
out. I thought she was going to get sniped to like get like the final five or something, like the finale.
Boost. Because we all thought going into that season that if Eva gets the final three, she wins. And she almost did.
I did. So I
said, all thinking she's got to go.
Right. I think she was my winner pick going into the end game, but halfway, 75% of the way through the season.
Were you on the 96.8% chance that Joe was going to win train that Blake was on or no?
No, I didn't think Joe was going to win at all.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't either.
I don't think I thought it was going to, I had a whole video where I talked about it. Kyle, at the final nine, I did a video where I ranked the final nine. And I was like, all right, this is like the end gamers. Let's talk about who's most likely to win. I had Kyle at like 6 out of 9, which is pretty rough in hindsight.
Yeah.
I think I had Eva at number one. So
yeah, I feel like I was on the Kyle train for most of the post merge. Once David went home, I was like, it's got to be Kyle. Cause I just never saw Joe or Eva. Shaheen's wasn't strong enough.
I made my video right before David's boot.
Yeah, so that's tough. Yeah, because that was when it was still up in the air and it started feeling like, okay, this is going to be an obvious.
Yeah. And I'm looking at like the yellow tribe here with Sophie and I'm like, I could see her surviving this vote or surviving this tribe. Maybe. I do think they're definitely going to go. I think they are definitely going to tribal at least once, maybe even twice. I feel like red tribes going to tribal pre-merge the least. I don't know.
Really? See, I think red tribe's the disaster tribe.
You do? I don't.
I do. I think Red Tribe loses the first two or three tribals.
Interesting. So we got more to talk about then, because I don't feel that way.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
that's good. I like the Red Tribe, but also knowing we got two attorneys from them. But like, I don't know. I don't think they're
Malcolm and Denise, man. That's all I keep thinking.
I mean, like, I'm here for a Malcolm and Denise storyline, but I don't see it. They all seem competent enough that they don't have any like dead weight. You know, to lose the challenges early on. I feel like they're all decent enough that they wouldn't lose. Who knows? You know, it's a crapshoot.
All right. Hugs Jeff. This is like the most random. This is the one that I always just put in last.
So I'm
like,
putting in three on stage. I'm actually going to do a one on stage here.
Okay.
This was another one where I swapped her around, but she leads by her spirit. She's an out of the box personality. Who's going to hug Jeff? Probably a woman, you know. We got nine.
Troyzan hugged Jeff. Never forget.
You know that's not enough of a sample size. I can't work.
I don't remember who else. I just know Troyzan.
What season was Troy? 24?
No, he did it in Game Changers because we were going to get rid of Hugs Jeff.
Troyzan was on Game Changers.
Come on, Peridium, don't do this to him. He hugged Jeff, and I remember he came on the podcast and he goes, "Why was that such a big deal?" And we were like, "We were about to get rid of Hugs Jeff because it hadn't happened in like 7 seasons.
And we're still keeping it because of Troyzan doing it one time.
Other people have done it though. It's been more. It's been more and more.
The new era is probably a little more huggy and touchy feely. So
yeah.
Okay. I put a one though. I'm like, I don't know. Yeah, like all I think about is Dawson. Can we do Kisses Jeff?
Kisses Jeff? I think there's probably a rule that as you're leaving, they tell you, like, if you try to kiss Jeff, like, we're going to press charges. Like, Dawson broke that for everybody.
Fair enough.
I'm going with Nate here with one, because I think Nate could do the whole, I really appreciate the opportunity on his way out and give Jeff like a little handshake that turns into a little bit of a bro hug. That's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm thinking. I'm just saying, like,
okay. All right.
I Jeff is pumped that Nate is on this season because, you know, he gets to talk about Black Panther and Marvel and all that stuff. I think that Nate could absolutely do like the Jeff. I really appreciate it. And Jeff's the one going for the hug. It's more of a who gets hugged by Jeff rather than who's hugging Jeff. So I'm going to go with Nate here with one.
Okay. Fair enough. I could see it. You know,
my fan fiction is more fun than what's going to play out in reality. Two times sit out. So you're thinking the red tribe is going to win a lot early. So I'm assuming you're going here.
I'm going red. I'm going Nate.
Are you? Okay.
I'm going Nate with like a one-ish, I think, you know, 1.5. I don't feel comfortable with this because it's just like, who the hell? First, they have to not lose and then they have to sit this person out. And I'm like, the tribe feels to me like the most well-rounded. So he is simply the oldest by a fair margin. He doesn't seem like he's in bad shape, and maybe he's secretly like a challenge beast or something. So they keep him around, but, and I don't know. I was like, I could easily see Savannah, for example, being like the person they sit out, but she's the winner. I can't put her there. She's my winner pick. Mm-hmm. So what am I going to do?
Yeah.
I got to have Nate there then, I guess. Cause would they sit Rizzo out? Is Rizzo like, How did Ryan Ulrich do on Survivor 35?
See, Rizzo's a lot bigger than Ryan Ulrich. I thought for sure Rizzo was going to come out and be like this, like 5 foot
right,
four.
Right. So I'm like, I don't know right. if Rizzo's sitting out of this stuff. I think he's probably playing. I think, like, who would you sit out if you had this as your roster? If you got Nate. The Red Tribe, who?
Nate.
Right.
Nate so, or Shannon. Yeah. I think Shannon's probably a choice too. Like
Shannon.
Yeah.
But she's into yoga, you know, and I thought she's got fitness going for her. I don't know. Wellness specialist.
I just don't think, I think that Red is going to be, maybe I'm
Shannon.
I think that honestly, I think the Blue Tribe. No, you know what? I think the Yellow Tribe probably wins the most early on. I do. And then that brings me to Christina or Sophie as who do I think would end up in the situation. And this one's like for somebody who says Sandra shouldn't have beaten Lil, you know, this isn't like embarrassing enough of a spot.
That's what you said. You said that?
No, Christina said that.
Oh, she said that?
Well, she kind of like hinted at it. That was her hot take. And honestly, like I respect how hot that take was. But I'm going to go Sophie here with the E.
That is a scorching. I thought about doing that for a video, like asking the community, give me your like your hottest of hot takes. Like Lil should have beaten Sandra. That is a scorching. That's a scorching like magma take.
Yeah.
Voted out. Comes. Yeah.
Comes back.
Knowing what we know.
And loses 6-1 to Sandra. And then it was like,
she would have lost the fair play. That's crazy. I didn't know Christina said that. Wow, that changes everything.
That changes everything. That was going to be your winner pick, huh? But honestly, Christina's energy was great. It was just she said that. I was like, oh my goodness.
It's a hot take.
Enter more confessionals in an episode Savannah 3. That's me.
Okay. You know what? I call your Savannah 3 and I say Rizzo 3.
I'm shocked. Yeah, I only didn't do Rizzo here because I knew you would since you'd already used Savannah. Rizzo will be my 40 or more confessionals in the season. That's coming.
You know, so. It was that or the other. It was one or the other. I think I moved him from that one to this one because I'm like, who's going to really get templates confessionals? They got to be either in like the finale or just a big character. It's hard to call big characters for sure. Like we thought Star was going to be a big character and she really wasn't.
Yeah. She was pretty invisible, yeah.
So that was a bit that sort of put me off from like going out of the unknown here, going into the unknown here. So I just stuck with the Rizzo 3. It feels like a very safe pick, Rizzo. You're going to be talking to us a lot this season. Let's go for it.
I love it. I think it's Savannah and Rizzo should be your answers for this. That's all. I'm
Unless
saying.
He turns into like a wimpy little non-leader and just ends up not having any confessional space, and he's not a good narrator. I don't know. I can't imagine. You go by Rizgod, you know, like you've got to have the 10 commandments of Survivor here. Like, what are we hearing from Riz God? I want to know. I want the 10 confessional commandments of Survivor from the God of Riz.
Riz. Well, what's so interesting is I remember at the finale last season when Jeff said to Mitch, like, how do you feel knowing that people are going to love you and this, that, whatever. And Mitch then gets edited almost like invisible for most of the season, right? Like
yeah,
Mitch's
true.
Edit just totally disappeared. The thing is, if they misunderstood, right? Like if they realized when they got to the edit that, oh man, like we actually don't have the content we thought we had for this person, right? I know Kellen was one of those back in Ghost Island, believe it or not. If you get to that point though, what happens is you say to yourself, well, Rizgod's already going to be on the next season, so we're going to make sure he gets his screen time anyway, right?
Yeah, for
which
sure.
like wasn't, Mitch didn't have that working in his favor. Like if they had said to Mitch, you're on 50, you better believe that Mitch's edit would have been massive no matter what. You know, so anyway, Rizgod and Savannah, easy. Goes on a journey.
Who do you have?
I have Jason. Jason for one. I think Jason is one of the people who would put himself in position to go on the journey. I think he would say, I want to go on the journey.
I am going through the Red Tribe here and burning the last one. I'm going to say Jawan.
Okay.
Big fan of Survivor, RHAP fan. They love to go on their journeys. Asia went on a journey. I just see it happening. I feel like the inner gamer in you wants to go on a journey, especially early on, where they're not likely to burn you. They're likely to give you something to work with because it's going to spice up the episodes early on. So I could see Jawan getting the chance going, although he's got a lot of competition here. There's a couple gamers on his Red Tribe. But I'm like, you know, if anyone's slotting in, I feel like Jawan felt pretty good. It feels like a good safe. I'll go with two. Put two on it. Plus, you know, if he's not getting voted out anytime soon, according to our fan fiction, he'll have plenty more attempts to go on the journey. So,
yeah. I like that pick. I think Juwan.
And if he's your winner pick, he's got to go on a journey, right?
He's like, got to go on a journey. Yeah. Jacob Taylor says, I'm behind, but Rizzo said the F-bomb 49 times in his Mike Bloom interview. So we really screwed that
one. Did he?
So I guess so. We messed that up, man. Oops.
Damn, that would have been an easy three there.
I know. He's an easy three where we have him, though.
Yeah, but that's like, yeah, true. I mean, who's going to get 10 confessionals other than Rizzo and like maybe Savannah then?
It actually happened quite a bit last season. I know like Asia had it, I think, at one
Asia
point.
Did in one episode. You're right. You're right. Right.
Yeah. Let me see. Last season, it was.
It just feels very random.
It is very random because you have to get like the who was the narrator of said episode. Kevin had it in the first episode. Say had it in the first episode. Kyle had it in the first episode. Mitch had an episode with 10. Camilla had a couple. Joe had one.
Okay, so it's an easy three. So I almost feel like I'm wasting Rizzo, though, because it's like too easy if that's the case. But it's also just feels random. I don't know.
It is.
We'll just go with it.
All right.
Did you know the 49 F-bombs? That's impressive. That's did you see, wait, did he do that on purpose? Is that like an Easter egg?
That would be funny. Yeah, that almost feels... I forgot that we're doing season 49. That does feel purposeful now.
What if he's sitting there counting it? That'd be wild.
Genius. Confessional in every episode. This is where I have Shannon and I'm putting two on it because I think that Shannon is going to go out early in this season. And so I think that, you know, if she's only in three or four episodes.
Yeah, that's fair.
She's going to get a confessional. All of
them. That's a strategy. And I've got the same thing. I'm putting Nicole up. I'll give her a three. Whereas I feel like you think red is disaster. I think blue could be, or maybe won't get a disaster, but I do feel like blue is going to go a couple times. I don't feel great. I know you had this whole fan fiction about Nicole going far, but you said 10 votes, over 10 votes with her, I think. That's what you said?
I did.
I'm here. I'm going the other way. I'm saying maybe episode two or three at best.
Okay. Man, you don't like Alex or Nicole.
I'm not hot. I mean, I deemed the blue tribe as my like potential disaster tribe. And I'm like, all right, what's the fan fiction here? Jake is getting 10 votes. He's not going early. He can't go early if that's the case. Annie's winning individual immunity. You can see who I'm pegging to go further. I'm slotting them in. We'll see about Sophie. We got Sophie B coming up and Jeremiah.
Yeah, I haven't gotten to Jeremiah yet.
Yeah, neither have I.
Jeremiah is a tough one. 40 or more confessionals in the season. This is where I have Riz God 3. Easy. Easy
3. This one feels weird. I'm like, it's definitely how many people last season got more than 40?
Yeah, hang on one second. Let me just pull that right back up. Survivor 48, confessional count. It was quite. It happens quite often.
That's what Kyle, I thought. Yeah,
it was Eva, Kyle, Joe. Eva, Joe, Camilla, Mitch, Shaheen, Say. So it was seven.
Seven out of eight.
Actually, not as many. I think in Survivor 47, it was more.
Okay, so I decided to go with somebody that I thought could have a lot to say. I went with somebody you picked early on. I'm going to say Sophie B. Mm-hmm. I felt listening to her. She was interesting. I enjoyed listening to her. I liked her by the end of her Bloom interview. And I thought, you know, I initially did have Rizzo slotted here, but then I realized there's a couple other ones that he would be great for. Yeah. So putting her here, I'm like, I think that she'll probably get a decent amount. Simple enough.
How much are you going with?
I'll do three.
Okay. Yeah. So you have 9 points left over your final four here. So there's your warning.
Okay. That's fine. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty close to two each. So the next one is episode title. Who's going to get an episode title?
Jeremiah.
I have Jeremiah as well.
Do you? Oh, that's our first time. I think we matched. Is that our first match? I think it's our first. Yeah,
it is our first match. And that, like I told you, I'm doing this live, but that's where I'm stuck now. Jeremiah is there.
Yeah, I mean, I had Jeremiah slotted in there pretty early into my picks here. He's witty, and I think he could say something that the producers are going to go, yeah, slap that on the cover of the episode.
Yeah.
Simply enough, you know, there's just some people who are he's got a lot to say. He compared himself to Jam Jam, and I kind of felt like that could work. And I think Jam Jam had a whole bunch of them. So,
yeah, no Jam. I mean, Jam Jam, he set the record for most confessionals, didn't he, or something like that? It was something crazy.
Most confessionals, well, like ever.
Or he was like top seven or eight, which was crazy. It was like the most of the new era when it happened.
Oh yeah. He had a he had a ton of confessionals,
and that was like crazy.
I mean, he had a lot of like episode. I think he also had some episode title names, which is what I'm predicting for Jeremiah. So
I'm hoping. Have two on Jeremiah. How many do you have?
Two.
Okay. What were you going to say? You're hoping?
I'm hoping he has enough bandwidth in the game to have a couple of episode titles, at least one, you know, because if he goes early in the season, which I'm like, Blue Tribe for me is like in my head canon, not looking hot. How's Jeremiah doing? Is he here? Is he going far? If he's not going far, does he get at least one episode title? I don't know. So I'm a little bit iffy on the confidence, but
yeah. All right. Who's going to go home with an unused advantage?
So all I have left are three yellow players.
That's what I have. That's so weird. Like that actually is very weird that we have Christina, Steven. We both have Christina and Steven, and I have Matt. Who do you have?
Jason.
Jason. Okay.
Which I feel like could slot him in here, but I have a better one for him. Actually, I'm going to go with Steven.
Okay. I hate this. Now we're starting to match too much. Cause I,
oh, you've got Steven?
Yeah, I do.
Oh shit. Okay.
Okay.
Why Steven then? Why did you say Steven goes home with an unused advantage?
I think we've talked about this a lot with this yellow tribe. Steven, it could work out in his favor. It could not, but Steven seems like the type of guy, maybe it's cause I'm watching One World right now and we have Matt Quinlan on that season. Everybody remember him? Everybody remembers Matt.
The Rooster.
The Rooster. There you go. Look, that's why Pertium does this for a living. So I feel like Steven maybe kind of gives off that overconfidence. They wouldn't possibly vote me out pre-merge, and maybe he gets an advantage, goes on a journey, gets something, and gets voted out early. I don't know. I feel like I'm roasting this guy for no reason. Although
I mean, he seems rambunctious. I said rambunctious. He's smart. He's very, very passionate. He had a lot of like. He just was very colorful and he got a lot of character from what I saw.
Yeah.
Bit of a golden retriever, a little bit.
Yeah.
He rocket scientist, I think.
Yeah.
I could see him potentially, kind of like Kevin, almost like last season, like going out ahead of the pack somehow. Finding a way to have an advantage, something, and then just like getting burned by it.
Yeah.
You know,
he also, somebody told me that he like said the hourglass twist was
good.
And
yikes.
That's
wow. That is a scorching hot take. Holy crap. Yeah,
that might be crazier than Lil beating Sam. I don't know.
I said that's the second worst twist in Survivor history. And there's an argument for being the worst.
What did you say was the worst?
Do or die.
Do or die is bad. Okay.
I hate the idea that somebody can go home without a vote.
And because they just decided to play in a challenge, like,
and you're like, why
for participating?
Yeah. So I'm like, why are we doing like, well, that's the antithesis of Survivor. I understand making a Final Four. I get it. It's only two vote, whatever, like three. Yeah. I understand. But I'm like, we're going Final 7, 8. These are like some of the best episodes, and you're just shooting yourself in the foot so we can watch a dude pick a box.
They're so lucky that both times it didn't.
But that's why I'm like, I hate the thought of it so much. Whereas like Hourglass, at least it just affects immunity, and there's still so much wiggle room for people to maneuver out of that shitty advantage. Whereas with the do or die, it's like literally you do or you die, and all you're doing is picking out of a box.
And what am I watching? Why was Lindsay punished for that? Because she competed in the challenge.
And what's even dumber is they did the suboptimal decision making on both seasons, and they survived, which is maddening. Because like, at least if they did the right thing and they survived, I could go like, okay, thank you. But they didn't even do the right thing and they survived. So I'm like, oh, it's awful.
She goes up against Jonathan one on one, Jonathan versus Lindsay, and now Lindsay has to go to do or die. Like, what are we doing?
So dumb. And
then 41 and 42 are not good. All right. Anyway, how many points are you putting for Steven?
I'll do, what do I got? I got seven.
You got
left.
3-2-2 at this point.
I got 3-2-2. I'm going to go two.
Two. Okay.
I'm not going to go with the three on this one yet.
All right. Who's going to use their shot in the dark? Let me go first.
Go for it.
You're not going to copy me.
And okay? I can't.
I'm going Christina.
Okay. I wasn't going to go Christina here. So.
And I'm doing one.
I was going with Jason. You know why? He was very complimentary. He said the winner he most likely represented by was Rachel, mm-hmm. From 47. And he admired her ability to use the shot in the dark so cleverly. She used it as a litmus test to read the room. And he thought that was really interesting and he liked that. So I thought, you know, if anyone here is thinking about the shot in the dark, which nobody usually is, I such an afterthought for me. The fact that he talked about it and was remarking on like the positive ways, I'm like, okay, he could get wily with it and use that. I don't think most people are going to, but if anyone does, just him saying positive things about it, comparing himself to a recent winner who used it as like a feather in her cap, made me think this guy could use it. I think he could.
Yeah, I really like that pick. I didn't pick up on him saying all that about Rachel. So I
he
I
did.
Love that. Yeah. That's great. Yeah, that's a good spot for Jason. Especially since Jason, I could see he did say in his, it's hard to not tell people how smart he is. Like, I think that he's somebody who could really be trying to overthink certain scenarios, which could lead to this. That's a good point. How many are you doing for him?
This is the weird thing, because I'm like, going to the sanctuary, how confident do you feel like somebody's going to the sanctuary?
A lot of people go to the sanctuary.
Right. But then it's like they have to make it there. And I'm going to say 2 for Jason and then just 3 for the last one, just because the shot in the dark is a little less likely. But unfortunately, this last slot was, I think, the second to last out of all 18 that I slotted in, which is Christina. Mm-hmm. And, you know, going to the sanctuary is a pretty, anything could happen. Anyone could go for any reason. I think she could get picked if she's at that point in the game. She seems like she wouldn't be a huge threat. She'd be likable. Take her on reward. I'd pick her.
Mm-hmm.
So why can't somebody else? And I'll put a 3 on Matt.
Same exact reasons. Like, same reasons. It's like, yeah. Matt could
be fun. Why not?
Yeah. Like, not so threatening. You just want to be around Matt. Let's hang out with Matt. Bring Matt.
You know, sounds like good things could happen there with Matt and Christina.
Yeah.
So if they make it to the merge, I'm nervous though, because I'm like, they might be the least likely people on their tribe to get to that point of the season.
Well, didn't they do that one though in the one season where it happened like right before the merge or something like that? They did like the barbecue or whatever it was.
That was that one person who got underestimated. Was
that was 47, right?
Was that 47? That might have been 47, yeah. Yeah. No. Was that 45?
What
is somebody getting underestimated by the big boys? The bros were underestimating her. Who was the girl? There was two guys.
Oh God.
And was it 46? It was 46. It was 46 because I think Q was there. And I think, gosh, this is going to bug me now.
I know. I can't. Maybe it was 46.
I can remember Matt Quinlan's nickname, really, but I can't remember what happened a few seasons ago.
I'm trying to remember. I know, dude. Isn't that what's bad though? Is like, that's how when you watch it so long ago, like you say stuff from 45, 46, 47, even though we spend hours and hours talking every week, I forget it. But like back when season 24 aired, I was 20 years old. I had nothing actually important to think about in my life. And I was like, I remember Matt. I remember Nina. Nina just smashed her face into the net. And I literally looked at my wife and said, oh man, good confessional coming. Why do I remember Nina's confessional of pointing at her face like that? But I can barely remember. I can't remember who went on this barbecue thing.
Do you remember what I'm talking about though? The context that was like somebody at it, and it was pre-jury and they tried to create a bro alliance.
It was Carolyn.
Oh, it was 44.
It was 44.
It was 44. It was Carolyn. It was favorite.
Danny and Brandon. It was Danny and Brandon talking.
I was like, there were two dudes trying to link up, and then Carolyn was like,
I'm actually thinking of something else though. That was also at the sanctuary, but I think in season 47, they did like a literal barbecue or something.
Maybe.
But it was Danny and Brandon, I think, who were just talking.
That was pre-merge.
Yeah, I think so.
Yep.
Anyway,
that was a fun scene. That was a good scene from that season.
Yeah.
One of the top 5 season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. Pretium, you have 3 minutes till Big Brother starts.
Oh, it's all good.
What do you, we got through everything though.
We did. We did in a timely manner.
What do you have going on, that you want people to know about? And what's your hope for season 49, the most forgotten season of Survivor that hasn't even aired yet.
And so we've already forgotten about it. I am just doing YouTube videos. That's what like you're here for. If you know me, you know that I make YouTube videos. I'll be talking about Survivor coming up soon. I probably won't be talking about it with the premiere, thanks to the Big Brother overlap. Big Brother is still happening until the 28th. And I'm just like knee deep in that show right now. It's about to get wild tonight in like 30 minutes. We're about to have it's going to be insane depending on the vote outcome and who wins this. Although I think we're going to get the least interesting results, but the fans are going to love it. This is Big Brother conversation right now for all you Survivor fans out there. I just do videos on Survivor and Big Brother once a week. I'm going to be talking about Survivor coming up. I'll be doing it for the rest of the year. I do Survivor 9 months a year and Big Brother comes up on July-ish. So we've got a 9, 8, 6 month spree coming up of winter, spring, early summer, just Survivor videos. So if you're a fan of Survivor and you haven't watched my YouTube videos, check them out. I'm doing it every week. I've also got like 8 years of content to consume.
Yeah, if you want to find out five times Survivor players hack challenges, be one of the 3.6 million people who watch that. That still blows my mind, man.
There's another Survivor strategy hacks coming out this December. So we'll see what I have to talk about then. People hacking strategy on Survivor and talking about all the creative shortcuts they take to possibly win. But also, as far as Survivor 49, I feel good about this cast pre-season. I like what I saw. I felt a little more optimistic, but maybe it's knowing that this cast is going to get overshadowed a bit, unfortunately. I felt pretty good. I liked what I saw. I think I felt better about this preseason than I have in the last few years. But I liked Survivor 46 and 47 and 48. I don't remember feeling much of anything about preseason, but whatever. So I feel good about this. I'm feeling pretty optimistic, and I feel like the bar is low just based on the fact that we came off of an all-star AU season and now we're entering a new US mega all-star season. The bar is low, and I'm like, I think it's going to get cleared, and that makes me happy. I think that makes me look forward to the next 3 months. I feel like they did a good job at the casting, looking at this list. I'm looking forward to it. And, you know, I'm looking forward to talking about it. I hope they deliver. I'm sure they will. I don't know. I'm staying optimistic.
And look, I know Samoa is not very popular now. I know that that's like a season that has kind of lost its luster a bit.
Season 19?
19.
Okay.
But when that season aired, before Heroes versus Villains, people loved Samoa when that came out.
Oh, they did. Like, it was crazy.
It was like, no, like, I know people don't like Russell now. Russell was so unbelievably beloved just from a watching perspective, and people don't get that. And that was before Heroes Villains, and people were like, oh, we could get that with season 40. I'm not saying that, oh, then they become irrelevant, but it's like, it's not unheard of for the season before the big season to be super exciting, even when you know it's coming. Like, I mean, we didn't really know with Pearl Islands and All Stars. Though Pearl Islands is great, but
Track record. Pearl Islands was good, but it was a little different back then. Worlds Apart, not the same hype as I think Samoa was incredibly hype. That was one of my first seasons, and the level of excitement in the fandom was like palpable. It was out crazy. It was insane. Like the rhetoric online was just, I'd never seen it before. I was new to the show. I got into it with season 18, and then 19 shows up and they're like, oh, by the way, this mega all-star season is coming up with like all the biggest names from 20 seasons. And I'm like blowing. I'm like, and 19 was so like a season can be incredible on its own. And I'm hoping 49 is able to do that regardless of what's coming after, where it fits into the tapestry of Survivor. But we'll see. I'm really looking forward to like, what do they do after Survivor 50? Cause like, do they keep going with the same three tribes, six people, you know, 26 days? Is it just back to basics? I hope they mix it up, giving us two tribes, but you never know. I'm hoping that 49 is a really good season and is able to stand on its own. And it certainly can beat 39. That's for sure.
Yeah. I mean, look,
the bar is in hell in that case.
That is true. All right. Well, if you want to participate in this game, click the link in the description of this video and sign up, you know, and you could win a prize. You could win a custom Pop Funko from Todd. And also make sure to sign up for the over-under game, patreon.com/thespecialist. Go ahead. This is the best time to become a patron. The season is coming up. This is when you want to be a patron because you can participate in our fantasy game. You can participate in our power rankings game, my after show every Thursday. John and McKenna are doing Rewind. And then that's on top of Australian Survivor episodes, Survivor Rock Draw. We got movies that we do. Tegwith is doing her own show on Tuesdays. And we have Every Season Matters where we're talking about South Pacific now and then getting into One World. So we have so much stuff going on over there. It's absolutely insane. Also, with the season coming up on Wednesday, we will be live right after the episode, right after the premiere, and we'll be talking about Survivor 49's premiere. My boot order prediction will be coming out on Monday. On Thursday, we bring back Digging Deeper. McKenna and John are back with Survivor Rewind next week, and then we're going to have predictions of power rankings, and Tegwith is starting her own new show, which is going to premiere, I think, next month, or not next Monday, the Monday after the premiere, which will be the 29th. She has a guest set up for that. I have a guest set up for mine. We will. My guest is from season 48. So there you go, everybody. There's your little tease. Who am I going to get from season 48 that's going to be on with me on Sunday, the 28th? We have so many podcasts. We're going to have like five coming out a week. Subscribe. Like this
become
video.
A patron.
Become a patron. And go follow Peridium. If you're following us and not Peridium, I really honestly don't know what you're doing. So anyway, go follow Peridium. And we'll see y'all later.
All right. See you.